Hello and welcome to our latest podcast series, Official Business, where myself, Vicky Highton, the founder of the Female Coaching Network, and Liliana Hora, the Women in Sport Manager at Athletics Ireland, interview a number of technical officials to not only learn about their own journey in officiating, but their thoughts on the ongoing changes within the sport.
We welcome Helen Roberts, a track and field official from Australia with over 30 years experience in the world of officiating. Helen's experience in athletics is vast. As a former athlete, a coach, and an official, her journey in officiating has taken her from a club helper all the way to the Olympic Games. Helen was appointed by World Athletics as an international technical official from the Oceania area in 2019. So welcome, Helen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I suppose before we kick off, the big question we're asking is, how and why did you become an official? How did it all start?
Well, I suppose a bit about my journey is that I'm an athletics brat. I still belong to the athletic club that my great-grandfather started in 1904. And my big sister still coaches for. None of her children still compete, thankfully. They weren't very good. None of us were. We weren't, but my parents were technical officials. And so right from when I started in athletics, it was always, my father was, okay, well, if you're not going in that 3,000 metre run, you're going to pull the tape through on the long jump or fetch discus or do something. You know, you're not just going to sit there all day. And so I did a lot of that. I turned 18 literally about a month before the Commonwealth Games were here in 1982. And so I was a technical assistant, which meant that we were the dog's bodies who set up the field and retrieved discus and did all that sort of thing. And that sort of made me realise that there was a place for me in my sport. I was a bit of a very ordinary athlete, okay, club stuff, but nothing much more than that. And I took the coaching when I started teaching, and I coached a lot of young school kids. I instead of saying I was a coach, I should really say I was a teacher who taught them how to do things and then sent them off to serious coaches when they got any good, so that they could become very good. And I was at one of our national school meets back in 1996, and of course that was the lead in to our big Olympic Games here in 2000. And one of the other coaches from another team was also a technical official, and she was on the selection panel, and they were really short one day, and she said, well, come on over the fence. We need some people. You don't have any events that you're coaching today, so come on over and help out. So I did, and she came, and this is a bit of a weird story, but she wanted me to hold the javelin that I was officiating on so that they could do the run-ups for the high jump, because I went into the runway. And I said, well, can't you just wait three throws? And she said, why would I wait three throws? And I said, because then it's the end of round three and we've got to do the reorder and you can get your jumpers through. And she went, oh, my God, you know that? And I'm, why do you know that? And I said, because I take an interest in what's happening around me and I know that this kid's three from the end. And she said, you've got to go back and start doing your exams. And that was it. So I had a very, very short run into Sydney 2000, and which stood on a few people's toes at the time, but a lot of the same officials from Queensland were the people who had officiated me and had known my parents, even though they'd both been dead for like 10 years already. And yeah, so I sort of knew them. So that's how I got started into officiating. And then once you do it, you make a whole lot of friends, and then you start to know the athletes, and you meet them from a young age, and then so you follow their career. And there's people who are throwing that, well, I was primarily a throws official to begin with, and that you just keep following their career, and then they see you as part of the furniture, and you just want to see how their lives end up. You become part of the person, you know. I've seen them get married, have kids, and now their kids are competing, and yeah, it's just a real love of it. So yeah.
So you basically were brought up and reared through athletics, but yet yes. You also accidentally fell into the officiating role. Is it everything you thought it would be?
Well, yes. I mean, I was a bit selfish to begin with because I thought, well, here's a shot. I'm also very lazy and coaching was hard. It's hard to be a coach. You know, you got to plan what you're going to do. You got to do all those things. It's harder than being an athlete. An athlete can go out and do the session and do the event and the track, and the poor old coach is left in the stand and is fretting and worrying. And, you know, this was a way, because I'm essentially a lazy person and didn't want to spend all my time just doing athletics. And so from that, yeah, now it actually does become a bit all consuming. My husband and I just spent the weekend training up a whole lot of school teachers to get ready to hopefully jump on and do the World Athletics TOEICS Level 1. So we gave them some face-to-face work and got them some practical experience before they actually jumped onto the net. So it becomes a bit all-consuming in a different way, but you also don't then have to go out and stand in the rain and hold a stopwatch and all those other things, so...
And Helen, you've spoke about how, you know, you got to then like be able to be involved in like the Commonwealth Games and the Olympic Games. And obviously you were involved at the Tokyo Olympic Games. What was it like putting on that Olympic officiating kit every day? Like knowing that you've such an integral part to play in, you know, the biggest global event that the world has to offer.
It's really an unusual feeling, you know, like I've done 3 Olympics now. I was in Sydney as just a judge, and that was a real buzz, and it was our home crowd, and, you know, I was standing with a spike in the middle of the field when Kathy Freeman ran her 400 final, and the noise was just nothing like you have ever could imagine have being heard. I was in Rio when we got absolutely drenched whenever the storms hit there. But so I was an ITO referee there. But this time I was on the jury. So it's probably the first athletics meet ever where I got to sit in the stand and just watch the sport I love. And we would watch each session and then we would worry about any protests and appeals. And there weren't that many. There was a few on the first after the first day, but after that, it just sort of petered out. And I think video refereeing has a lot to do with that because the coaches go and see what's happening. But it was just, it's just amazing. Even though there was nobody in the stand, the athletes still put on a show and still made the show. They made it about them. And it was just a joy to watch. It was just amazing. So putting on the uniform, the days do become a little long and particularly if you are out on the field. But again, it's just like the athletes peak for their event. We know about a year out. Well, Tokyo, we knew 2 years out what we're going to do. And we just, you lap up every minute of it and enjoy every minute that you have. And yeah, things don't always go exactly to plan, and which is also the excitement of it. You know, we have just as many things go wrong. Well, not many things go wrong, but we have just as many possible things that could go wrong, and so we have to make sure we plan for those and put things in place and get ready. Yeah, but it was exciting, and waking up every morning and spitting into a little tube and walking over to the track and doing all those things, it was just different to everything else. So
and yeah. So Helen, you said you've been involved in 3 Olympics and you've had different duties at them all. Like, to people who don't really understand officiating, like, how did those roles and duties differ from games to games?
Oh, okay. Well, the first one, I was just really just, we call them Indians. You know, we have chief judges on the field events and we have Indians. I was the Indian. I was running around on the fall of the discus and the javelin and the hammers. I was on the throws crew, or standing, watching a circle, raising a flag, doing just those sorts of tasks, which, you know, we still need just as many at an Olympic and world champs as we do at a club meet. In fact, we get by with a lot less at a club meet. So that was really enjoyable. But the next time I was in charge of a crew of people and making sure that everything ran right, I was that go-between with the athletes to make sure that they knew what was happening, because in Rio, not everybody spoke English to on the crew. So a lot more, well, most athletes speak English, but or some form of English. So there was, but not all, a lot of the officials in Rio did. So there was that side of it. And then being on the jury of appeal is really interesting because, again, it's that another aspect where you don't have a say in what happens on the field, but you help to right any wrongs that might have happened there, give the athletes a voice, let them be heard if they don't agree with something, and then take the time and make sure that they understand why they were disqualified or why something or why somebody else wasn't disqualified and all those sorts of things. So it's a different role and, yeah, interesting.
And Helen, have you a preference of what duties or role that you take at a championships?
No. I'll if World Athletics think that it's a role I'm suited to, I'll do it, and I'll do it to the very best of my ability. Try my hardest.
Helen, sorry, a last question, Vicky, I promise. How do you go? Like, how do you get involved in officiating from a world level? So, like, let's just say we have hopefully some listeners from obviously across the world listening, and that might be, you know, officiating at their kind of federation level, at a national level. What steps do they need to do if they want to be in a position like you?
Okay, well, it's at a bit of an exciting time with athletics officials at the moment, technical officials with World Athletics. They're going through a bit of a change in how things are happening and how things are being appointed and chosen and all that sort of thing. So whilst it's in a little bit of flux at the moment, that will all settle down. But basically, I always say, how do you get to be me or someone else on the panel, is that you say yes to every opportunity and you go out and you do the very best you can, and hopefully somebody notices that you're doing a good job, and they then open a door, and you, of which you then say yes again. I always say yes and then work out how you're going to make it happen later. Don't, you know, go back and beg your boss for more time off or those sorts of things, but just always say yes and always give your best effort. And if you do that, people notice and they see and they give you a shot at the next one. And then you do a good job there, do the very best you can. Someone else goes, oh, hang on a minute, there's that person who did this. And then it just keeps, well, for me, it just kept snowballing. And I had a few wonderful mentors who knew me from when I, well, one of them knew my parents, who died in like 1986 and 1991. So we're well and truly long gone before I even started officiating. And they would say, oh, well, you know, come and give this one a go. We'll give this course a go. These days there's the TOEICS level one online. You don't even have to wait to be invited to do that. You can just jump online, do it, go down to your local club, find out which, you know, how much practical experience you need to get before they'll sign off on you, to sign off to say that you're competent, and they register your name. And then from then on, the opportunities start to come. But if you don't take that first step, walk through that first door, then nothing else can happen from there.
Helen, it's so obvious from how your face lights up and how you talk about officiating, like how enthusiastic you are about it and having had some wonderful experiences. And I've still got images in my head of you stood in the middle of the track when Kathy Freeman's running around, like, for me, that is the greatest Olympic moment of all time, hands down. I just cannot imagine how it must have felt being in the middle of all that. So I'm still thinking of that in my head. So there are obviously some incredible moments that you've had. But officiating in general is a bit of a thankless job, especially, I guess, when you're at club level, grassroots level, that kind of thing, with really long hours. Often, you know, those that are on perhaps the field events are sat down on tiny little stools for hours and hours in the day. Obviously, Australia, as we said before we started, is blessed with sunshine. Over in the UK, not so much, sat there in the rain. But what do you think about how the federations treat officials? Do you think that they take into consideration actually just how tough a job it is, and I guess also the welfare of officials. Is it taken seriously enough, do you think?
Look, I've got to be honest, it can be taken more seriously than it is. We're fortunate here in Australia at the moment that one of World Athletics' top technical officials is working in at the Athletics Australia office at the moment, and he does understand and he does get it and he does look at different things. Often it's not so much that they're long days, and here in Australia we pay our own way to everything. Even Oceania, if you want to go to an Oceania Championships, you pay your own way, because we're small compared to the European system and every other system. So we don't get paid. We get a small per diem to help out with accommodation. But I view it as my charity. This is my charity work. So it's like I'm donating to the world of athletics by doing what I do. It's thankless, I suppose. No, it's not thankless. I take that back. The thanks we get is when you see that smile from a kid that's just done a PB, someone who's just been named in their first state team or their first Australian team. I've been fortunate to stand at the bottom of a corridor and see some of our young athletes as they walk out to get a medal on the world stage, and then see them when they come off with their medal and just be so excited. And their thing is, you know, they say thank you. And in fact, in Australia, we have a very good culture of particularly our field athletes thanking our officials after every meet, every club meet. Matt Denny, who's an Australian thrower from from the southeast of Queensland, every time he comes out to throw, he says thank you, because he saw other top throwers when he was younger thanking officials. And then our young athletes see him saying thank you, so they say thank you. So it just sort of goes around and around. There would be very few very few athletes that don't thank us each time they compete. And also it's about relationships. I have a really good relationship with a lot of the local coaches, and they see me and they go, Helen, you know, particularly after winter, you know, we rock up in the beginning of summer and, you know, how's your winter been? How's things, you know? And it's like meeting those old school friends, and some of them were my friends from, they're my age as well. But so that side of it it stops you forgetting that, you know, you don't get any money for it, or it's a long day, or all of those other things. You get those little moments of joy in each and every day. So that helps.
Helen, you're making me want to sign up to my officiating qualification now. Right.
You too. I was not an athlete. In fact, I was, a lazy person. And I've been to 3 Olympics. There's more than one way to get there.
Yeah, right. I'm going to seriously consider that now. What is the most challenging aspect of officiating, whether that be specifically to the task that you have as the official at that meet, or officiating in general? Is there one particular thing that's quite challenging?
I suppose the thing that's challenging is particularly when, we had a big meet here on the weekend, and so there were coaches of young kids from all around Australia, and personal coaches, not the team coaches. And they don't know you, and you don't know them. And they just think you're against their kid. And we had one of them who walked away and said, because the coach of the team coach knew who I was, because some others had told him, and he was going, come on, you don't talk, because I'd said, this man does not talk to me or any of my officials again. He goes through you, or he will be removed. You know, I just lost it because it was long, hot days. And his response to the team official who was taking him away was, oh, yeah, but she just doesn't know the rules. And I suppose the most challenging thing is that a lot of people out there don't know what they don't know, and they don't know how much they don't know. And so they want to argue with you over things that really either A, are not a big deal, or B, everyone should know, which is why I think everybody, every coach, every athlete, every parent should go on and do the World Athletics Level 1 so that they get that idea of how much there is involved, and we're trying to make everything fair for everyone, not just for your athlete. It's got to be fair for everybody. And I suppose that's the most challenging thing we have is, and sometimes I don't do that very well. Sometimes I've been known to turn my back and just walk away and go, no, I'm not buying into this now. And which I have to learn to do that better, but I don't have that issue at a higher level.
Yeah, I really like that idea about parents doing the, you know, the course, because I mean, many coaches as well can add to this, the amount of grief and hard work that parents kind of throw their way because they just don't really understand the sport in the way the coach or the official does. I really like that idea. So last question from me, Helen, and then I'm just going to hand over to Lillianne. If you could make one rule change in the sport, whether that is a technical change of an event or just one rule change in track and field, what would that be and why?
Well, I don't think I'm necessarily the best person. There's some real athletics wonks out there that think about these things way deeper than me. I'm just somebody who go, I just say to them, you know, you tell me how you want this rule interpreted, you tell me what you want, and I will make that happen. I see that as my role. I can definitely say when a rule doesn't work. I love it when they bring in a new rule. That's fantastic. Like the new 30 meter, not so new anymore, but a relay change zone now for the 4x1 is 30 meters long instead of having the 10 meter acceleration and then the 20 meter change zone. And to me, that epitomizes a perfect rule change, because it helps grassroots athletes, grassroots coaches. It helps at every level on the way up, because it makes it easier to complete your change in time. It makes it way easier on coaching. It makes it way easier on officials, because we don't have to have as many officials. We can set the athletes up at the club level and go, okay, right, just don't leave that box there. We're going at the other end to check you on the way out. So to me, that's like the perfect rule change. It helps absolutely everybody on the way through. Sometimes we have to make rule changes that then continually change, and that just adds frustration. Like the latest shoe rules, they just cause frustration for coaches and athletes, and they then tend to take it out on the officials when it's not really their fault. They're just enforcing the rule that's coming down. And that's going to change a bit before it actually settles into a pattern. But, we'll get by. We always do.
And Helen, our final question that I would ask, because like obviously, as Vicky mentioned earlier, we're hoping to have more interviews and podcasts with officials like yourself from across World Athletics membership. But if you could pose a question to our next official, what question would you ask, or what would you like them to maybe explain a little bit more about?
The one thing that I try to always keep in my mind, and I like to hear from other people, mm-hmm. is what are you doing for your legacy? You know, like mm-hmm. I'm not going to be there forever, and I can't do everything, because if I do, then I'm not preparing the person who's going to take over from me. You know, if I go and get hit by a car tomorrow and I'm not at the track, we need to be able to survive as a sport without, you know, without, well, in my case, without me or without that person. So it's hard to try and, well, for want of a better term, build a legacy so that our sport can keep thriving and keep being as fantastic as it is. I suppose that's the one thing. And I don't know how to do that. I think sometimes as officials, we're our own worst enemy because we love it so much. We go every week. And so then people say, oh, I've got to be there every week and I can't give that now. Well, no, you don't. My husband's a high level official and he goes every other week because he has golf every other week. And he's set it that way. He's got his life balance worked out. I've yet to work out my life balance. Mm-hmm. I feel I need to be there all the time. So yeah, that's sort of a question that I would ask is, how are you preparing for your, well, end, I suppose? How, you know, what's going to happen after you finish? Have you done enough to leave people in a good position?
Amazing. Helen, I think that's
does that make sense?
I think, yeah, it does. And it makes perfect sense. And like, this is myself and Vicky's first time meeting you. And even though we're only over Zoom and you're in a different continent than us, I can genuinely really, really feel how much you love the sport and your innate ability to inspire and lead and bring people with you. So I think that question is really, really important for our listeners and our officials out there, because without people like you, we would have no sport. So thank you for everything that you continue to do.
Thanks so much for your time, Helen. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure you've inspired a whole new generation of officials to come forward.
Oh, thank you for those kind words.